assist, man.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every...
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined the Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Better call Becky with the good hair.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
D-Ray, the difference maker, Davis.
Yes.
D-Ray.
I get to be a special guest today. Thank you.
You know what I keep wondering, D-Ray? Like, you have been the most popular D-Ray for a long time, but then the activist came along.
D-Ray. Oh, he snapped off. But before we get into that, I must say, she looks beautiful.
She looked like she on
she
Love & Hip Hop.
Good.
Stop it.
She looked different.
On Empire? You say Empire? You look good. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, you know.
I got some new hair from her imports, you know.
No, it's more, it ain't just the hair. You look good. I'm sorry. I can't not.
She glowing?
Say she look,
I
yeah.
I also have
you
a
look,
tan. I was in Miami.
Oh, okay. Tan, the complexion.
Tan.
You came in
stop downplaying it. That was all right. Now we good.
D-Ray,
I had to get
like
that flirt out. I had to get that flirt off.
D-Ray, I never shot my shot at you before. Now, D-Ray has tapped the industry, by the way.
No, man. Half is heavy, man.
He has two girlfriends.
Half includes a lot. Yeah, I have, yes. I'm very, very committed.
You got two girlfriends?
Yeah, you know, I've been talking about this 100 times. You don't listen to me.
All you do is
call people fat, say who ugly, irritate rappers. That's all you like to do. Like, if D-Ray ain't been irritated, he'll remember it.
Too busy talking, he don't listen.
Right. I have two girlfriends.
Well, you know, sometimes you have a date. You have been single? No, you ain't been single in a long time. I just thought, but you've been had a wife since third grade. he came out the womb with a ring on. he came out with a family behind him. What happens is you when you're single, man, I was single for a long time, but then you meet people that you've been liking, and then you're dating two different people at the same time. You're dating,
right.
And then who do you tell? Yo, I don't want to date you no more. I'm going to try this. Do you tell a person, go in the waiting room?
Mm-hmm.
No. So what I did is I decided to be honest. Instead of getting my windows busted and cars scratched up, and I said, hey, I want to try something. I don't know if it's not, you know, it ain't the usual program. We're going to get ridiculed. People going to talk stuff. But most men got two girlfriends anyway. They just don't say it.
Right. And it worked? Like, y'all go out together? Y'all
we go out together. We're friends.
Like best friends.
Oh,
yeah.
Man,
yeah.
You're my new hero. Wow.
We're friends,
so y'all
man.
Must not have ever watched Living with Funny on Oxygen.
And that show alone caused a lot of, like, hectic stuff because when it was just us and people assuming what it might be, but once you go on TV and say this what it is, you know what I mean, with two people who don't really, like, Carol, she's more into, like, TV and acting because she comes from that world of hosting and she was in pageant and stuff, but Coco's more like she's a Long Beach chick. She don't really care about no TV. You know, people start saying different stuff. You know, get the pimp. You a pimp. You a player. And they make the words you want. You know, it's like when you with your girl and somebody like, dang, another one? You're like, no, it's the same one. Same girl. So, yeah, man.
And y'all live together?
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
They have a whole show about it. Living with Funny is what it's like to live with a comedian.
Yeah, me, Brandon T. Jackson, Michael Blackson. Well, it's called Live with Funny, but I'm the only funny girl on it.
Wait a minute.
It's me and some poets on there. No, I'm kidding.
So wait a minute. Y'all stay in the same room or y'all split them up? It's like one side, and you...
No. We're in the same bed. Yeah. But I mean, everybody needs to. No, man, we don't.
That's what I'm asking. Like,
no.
Wing. Like, you know,
of course they do.
No. We actually don't have. We actually, I've never, ever had a threesome with them.
It's going to happen.
Well, man, you know, I have pushed. I've asked subliminally. I've, you know what I'm saying? But you can't force people in that kind of situation. It's like trying to force your music on people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People got to love the rhythm of it before they love it. You know what I mean?
Just like sister wives.
Yeah, everybody comfortable.
As a woman, it's hard to put a cap on it, though. We already living together, and we eating together, and we a family. We might as well have sex together.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I'm right there with you.
Well, now, why can't that be enough? Okay, we're all of us are going to live together. We're in a great relationship. Why do you have to take it that step?
And if you don't push, if you don't push nothing on nobody, I feel like, man, honestly, men lie so much, man. We lie so much that when we start telling the truth, it's going to surprise women and this is going to happen a lot more,
I feel like.
Isn't there a ball player? Who's the ball player that has the two?
Well, they always say Lou Williams, but I haven't seen his girls. I don't know his situation. I don't know if he got good girls. I don't know if there was... Because a lot of dudes got two girls. Sometimes they be two strippers or they be two...
If it's time to get married.
But you got to have two legit... Look, if gay people are able to marry each other, I should be able to marry my two girlfriends.
Right. Polygamy should be legal. I don't understand that. Like, that bugged me
gay,
up.
If you gay, you can get married. You can go, you know, rub, you wake up on another man's chest, two men. You should be able to wake up with four breasts.
That's a fact.
Two chests. Four breasts.
What would you think about a woman who has two boyfriends?
Well, I've been asked that a lot. It's different for a woman because women are... No, it's different. Women are internal. Everything goes inside of you.
Things go inside of men, too, sometimes.
What men are coming? Don't even try to argue the double standard. Girls are hoes if they got more than one guy, and we're not.
I'm saying if your daddy walking on you and you got two...
But if the
two penises
are okay,
on your forehead, he's not going to be like, that's my girl. It don't work that way.
If the two guys are okay with it, though.
But a lot of guys are, and that's why they go to the strip club and they both leave with
the
one girl. Yeah. It's different. You know it's a train.
That's not a train.
It's a train. If it's a woman, it's a train.
Girls be like, I had a threesome. No, you didn't.
But
you
if they're not
sleeping
with them both at the same time. Just
true.
Like
I know.
Said.
I know girls like that. And girls emotionally, though, I think can't deal with it all the time. I think it's heavy on them.
D-Ray Davis.
The difference maker.
Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Is it just me? Is it just me? Is this so, so good? I shouldn't have to...
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Special guest in the building, Mr. D-Ray Davis.
How was it doing the show with Coco and Carrie? Was it difficult for them, like, to put their lives out there like that?
Initially, it was very difficult because everybody, they come from, like, real families. They don't come, like, ain't nobody broken. Did nobody daddy disappear? And people always say that. Where they fathers at and all that?
What did their family say?
I mean, it's different. Once they get around me, they cool because they see it's more like family and friendship. Like, I'm not around them tongue-kissing at the dinner table. Both of them sitting on my laps like, y'all should have raised them better. Like, ain't none of that going on. It's really like, I'm their friend, man. I'm their friend first. And they just have it. Men messed up so much that I'm in a place now. I'm in a position, man, where it's like, it's comfortable.
I didn't know. I thought it was reality. But it's not. It's like a scripted, unscripted show, right?
That show, come on, man. Comedians in the room, all we're going to do is talk about each other. They had to stop that. Like, we first shot it like that, sitting at a round table, and dudes was going in, man. Dudes want to fight. Man, you know how I talk.
You're brutal, though. Like, you
exactly.
I don't, like, you go at people, I'm like, damn, they gonna
and
fight
I can fight. So it's different. You know what I mean?
I've seen you out in Miami on the street getting at somebody. So they ready to whoop your ass sometimes. You just
they could be ready all day, but ready and prepared are two different things.
But see, the thing I like about D-Ray, you don't be trying to be funny. You just be talking. Like, I hate comedians that try to be funny.
Oh, they force it. You ever go to the store? Something at the store, right? the store. You go to the store lately, the chips is on the wall. Yeah, that's because my comedy happened on accident. Man, I walked in the comedy club and saw it. I never saw it on TV, so I guess that had a lot to do with it.
Really?
Yeah, I just walked in and seen a comedian on stage, a comedian named Shay Shay, and he started talking about my shirt, and I was mad as hell. So I started yelling back, but nobody told me what a heckler was. And then I learned the next week I went back, and I was like, I want to try this, and that's how it happened.
So you just went up on stage and got at it.
Yeah, my uncle was the bartender, so I just talked to the dude. I was like, I want to try this. And, you know, I thought I'd open up with a funny rap. That didn't go. Then I ended up doing, like, just talking about people. Men at Large was there.
Yeah.
I roasted the group. It was sitting there, and I was being like you, calling people fat. And I told them, they were talking about my jokes. I have a notebook. They said, you need to open your notebook and get some new jokes. And I was like, you just mad this ain't a menu. And that was it. After that, it was a wrap, man.
Is it hard in Chicago, though, being funny? I asked Dion Cole the same thing, because it's like, Chicago's a rough place.
Well, Dion, my big brother. I don't mean big brother like people. People always assume my big brother once they're successful. You know what I'm saying? Dion went to school with my brother. So I knew Dion since I was like 12 years old. I've been knowing Dion. I seen Dion do the Cotton Club. Dion's just a naturally funny dude, you know, worked hard on his material. As far as me, I feel like me being around him, I'm a lunchroom funny where I talk the mess in the room. I'm not great at writing and sitting around. But comedians, man, for what little opportunities comics get now, I say it's hard.
Yeah,
ain't
no
more comic view. Mm-hmm. Def Jam ain't around.
Are they doing Def Jam again? I heard that later.
I hope they do it, because that'd be great for these comics.
Tony Rock is hosting
it. Oh, yeah, it's all Def Digital type thing. Yeah, that'd be good, man. Yeah, Tony Rock, man. Yeah, that's good. Good for Tony, man.
Tony Rock, man.
No, Tony, my man. Me and Tony, we always compete with each other.
Oh, all
right. I'm funnier.
Okay.
Bottom line, any of these comedians go on stage, they got to go before me. That's just what it is. It's not going to turn out
the
way.
Why are you so underrated, though?
I don't think D-Ray underrated. I think D-Ray has been...
Dog, they keep... Hey, man, they keep... Oh, no, that's for sure.
He gets the checks.
That don't change.
Right.
I don't think it's that, man. I think this kind of conversation, the way I talk now, ain't accepted in the comedy community. As rappers, you can brag. As a ball player, you can brag a little bit. But as a comedian, you being disrespectful and everybody funny is different. I'm like, no, go on stage, do your 10 minutes. we can go back and forth and see who lasts longest on stage doing 10 minutes. That's just how I love the art.
To compete.
And I love to compete.
Right. And that's, most comedians are self-deprecating. You're not self-deprecating. You
yeah, man, because they got to be. Most comedians ugly. They just, most comedians got cute after they made it. Then they handsome. But you was ugly. Come on, man. Come on. Parents made horrible decisions and you were forced to do comedy. See? But, man, you uh-oh. Are you toxic, man.
I just
no, he's toxic. She's about to call him ugly. See, he's going to be a person right here now. Man, sitting next to him, no, I be, man, he always do this.
D-Ray yep. Davis, keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Happy holidays.
Wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at the Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
That's right. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. We have D-Ray Davis.
You got Girl House coming. I heard that's coming in August.
I have no idea when that's coming out.
That's the, you shoot a lot of movies.
That don't come out. In theaters, never.
In theaters, never.
Why is that, though?
I have, man, what you talking about? Because I go get all the money. If they want to shoot, we going to shoot. But I tell them while we shooting, I don't know if it's coming out.
Yeah.
You did, you did a couple episodes of Empire. You would go to Empire, then they killed you.
Yeah, they did, man. Yeah, I was. Yeah, man, I was excited to be on that show, too, because John Singleton called me, put me on that. He wanted me to do, I did his FX show, Snowfall, mm-hmm. and he wanted me to play, like, the main drug dealing cat on there, and he was basically the casting people over at Fox at the time didn't think I could play that serious a character, so he wanted to show them by putting me on Empire.
Oh, dope.
You were also in Chocolate City.
In Chocolate City, yeah. That,
they should have had you on stage in that. They,
yeah, and show my stomach. I would have lost all my fans. See, I try to keep my situations. You know what I'm saying? I don't step outside my boundaries. You know, I'm a shirt on sex type of guy.
You leave your shirt on during sex?
Shirt on, socks on.
Shirt, socks. That's it, yeah.
Now, listen, our interns did research for you, right? And I don't know what this means, but they say you've been vocal about being a gay ally.
I don't know what that means, but if you said if I see two gay people fighting, would I help them? I guess I would.
I guess that was a joke. They must have heard or something.
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea. Okay. So what is gay? What ally? Am I ally? Would I go marching for gay people?
Yeah, it says you have been vocal about your being a gay ally. Is there a problem with gay discrimination in the community, in the comedy community? What made you be such a vocal ally for the LGBT community? I'm like, I know.
Wow. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Gay ally?
Allies like in the like U.S. a government, friend. Yeah, a friend. I would say that whatever people want to do, like I've been vocal about. You can't go on stage and people start to go up and gay bash or gay this or I can't say nothing bad about people without having something good, positive to say also on that side of it. I'm saying.
And that comes with you growing up.
Yeah, gotta be. I mean, when I first got to L.A., mm-hmm. I literally thought that was a disease when I see it because I'm from Chicago. Being you don't gay. Just be like, I'd be like, oh. I was like, oh. Then my building manager, Steve, let me know he ain't want nothing from me. He's like, dude, you think just because a gay dude, look, he's like, every gay dude don't want you. Anybody looking at you, mm-hmm. he's letting me know that, you know, and he ended up being somebody when I was getting evicted, when I wasn't touring, he's somebody that was like, yo, talk to me about the business of owning my own buildings, my own thing. And this is conversation coming from a man who I would never even let talk to me, judging by how I was raised and how, you know, because we was little, you call somebody gay, you fought right away. And the bad part is some of the kids you call gay and really was, but they was ashamed to say they was.
So you're a gay ally.
I would say, yeah. I would say
you're
that.
A gay ally.
Okay. That's real. I mean, you know, it's funny because you said you come from Chicago when it was new to you when you saw it in L.A. That's how I feel about transgender women. I feel that same.
And that's another new. But, you know, it's still. And right now, I don't know how to answer that yet because I haven't. I don't want to say been around. Now I don't want to say I have an issue with it because that would take me. Does that take me against what I was saying earlier?
No, because I got an issue with it, too.
Okay. I want to know, man. It got to be different. But like, because you go to some of these clubs in New York and it'd be the glass. This dude crossed from me. Who is?
Well, right? Just because that person's a transgender doesn't mean they want you.
Like, but that's what I think too.
I think going to the, I think the bathroom is your sacred place. But any decision you make in life, and I mean this, any decision you make from, let's say we y'all artists in here, and I mean that realistically, y'all DJs, y'all artists, y'all on the radio. When you make a decision like today, you decide to wear your hair like that. The attention you get from wearing your hair like that is different than when you come in if you feel a little different. So we should accept the attention we're asking for, well, wherever we dressing, however we looking. Like, right. If I come out, I got my hoodie on, and I see four white people cross the street, I ask for this attention. With my hoodie on, all dark clothes, middle of the night, you have to, your environment is important to the decision you're making.
But if you're coming from the gym with a hoodie on at night.
True, I mean, too, but you can't not.
You got to be aware. You got to be aware at all times. Right.
That's all I mean. That's all I mean.
Of other people's prejudices. You have
to be not even just the prejudices of what you're
doing. You got to be aware of how you're being perceived.
Right, that's a like, people look at you and they have a certain
Like Amber Rose is the slut walk. I think the name is strength in the name and what you're trying to do, but I think it's other ways to present it.
But it also wasn't something she invented. It was something that's been going on before that in the country. So I think just the fact that it was Amber Rose that did it.
That's what made it, yeah.
It was called,
but a lot of people.
But it brought a lot more attention to it, too, at the same time.
True. I just think the attention that you're making, she can be like, why you bring my name up? It's whatever you bring in, whatever you act, whatever you have around you, me with the two girlfriends, I walked into a conversation about two girlfriends.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And somebody somewhere going, ugh, he got two girlfriends. Yeah. What is this world coming to?
Right.
And it's a transgender person going, I only got one person I love, but what's wrong with D-Ray? So,
exactly.
So
and Joking Off is coming back.
Joking Off coming back, 20 episodes.
And you're on tour right now.
On tour, the Funniest Fact Tour, getting ready to shoot another special, finally.
The Funniest Fat Tour?
Funniest Fact, man.
Oh, Fact. I'm like, what?
You perform in say it right for me again.
Funny as Fact.
Man,
fact.
She can funny speak good, too.
D-Ray Davis, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank y'all, as usual.
Man. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What's up, y'all? It's Angela Yee wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Mr. Sweet Saturday.
You can't say that.
Pom pom. We say pom pom. Right, you know what we talking about.
All right.
Nah, they bleep it.
They can bleep it. There you go. They can bleep it. I can't say it like you know it.
All right, so how? You got to put the swag on it. Say it. Let me use that.
Poor
Yeah.
You been practicing that.
Yeah, that's how good to me. I don't know about y'all. That sounded good to me.
Flies is here. Morning, sir.
What's up, big dog?
Now, do you feel like you got a bigger buzz now because of social media than you ever did because of the music?
I don't know. I think when the numbers come out, I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah.
So until that happens, I don't really know. Like I always say, I don't get caught up in what ain't real for real. Like, it's about translating and making all of it work for you. So until the numbers come out, when the next album come out, I'll tell you if the buzz is bigger or not. It feel bigger.
Or,
yeah. Do you feel like when you in the airport, people feel like they could just run up on you and say anything and do anything now?
That's the aura. I feel like that's what makes my situation unique. It's a personal connection between me and the people that support me, so it's kind of like a no-hold-bar situation with me. Like, sometimes I'm an over-accessible guy.
Now, that Color Money situation, that ain't help you, like, that ain't stop your interaction with the fans? Like, yeah, I don't want y'all that close to me no more now.
When you say Color Money, break it down to me. Give me to me.
When you was on the stage and the dude grabbed you or whatever?
You know what? And I guess it's probably my first time with the story. That story, that was one of them situations that, for me, a million times, it'll probably happen to me a million times, because it was never a situation. Came on stage and walked past everybody and grabbed.
You brought him up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I was surfing through the crowd. I was on top of security shoulders and they was mushing the dude and they kind of ended up choking him out. So I kind of seen what the altercation was going on. So when I got on stage, I stopped the show and I told them to go get dude. Like, they kicked him out the club. So I said, man, bring dude back in. He can stand on the stage with me. Like, that's one of my policies. When I'm performing, I don't let nobody get kicked out the club. So when he came on stage, security was like, you want him to come up and holler at you? I said, yeah, come on. He can stand back in and drink the liquor with me. So when he came up there, he was just talking like, man, I love you. You know, if I had to get kicked out behind you, bro, I don't care. I love you. I just want to touch your hand. So I was like, cool. So as we was talking, I said, all right, man, listen, let's stand back there and drink the liquor. And, you know, I'd save you from getting kicked out the club. Let's be good. So at that point, somebody ended up saying, Plies, I love you. And I ended up looking off. When I looked off, I felt somebody grab me. When he grabbed me, I ain't knowing if he picking me up because he loved me or if he picking me up because we ain't had no friction. It wasn't like me and dude was beefing.
Yeah.
So when he picked me up, I just snapped though. At this point, it wasn't even about trying to figure out why he was picking me up. So when he picked me up, I felt myself going off stage. When I felt myself going off stage, I just turned. When I turned, I fell on top of him. His back hit the rail. When his back hit the rail, I just took off. At that point, it was just bum 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 bum.
Yeah,
I just
caught
him with a quick sick, about 4-5. And I always tell people, Charlamagne, just for the record straight, how much you weigh?
I'm like 180.
Yeah, you can't whoop me. Anything under 200 can't whoop me. I tell people, anything under 200, I'm whooping anything with hand, with these. I'm whooping anything under 200.
Yeah.
If you're over 200, we got to handle it a little different.
Yeah.
So that situation is really how it happened. But it's one of them situations with me when I look back at it. It would have happened to me a million times. And I kind of go through that with my brother now.
That's what I'm saying. I know Gates got to be like, bro, stop letting these boys get on the stage and get close.
Yeah, but it's kind of your philosophy. Can I kind of hear you talk about it and, you know, you don't really trust us too much.
I don't trust no.
Yeah. You don't really trust us too
based
much.
Based off experience.
But Plies still does. You know, like,
but I still do
the
it.
The only artist that I see that when he performs, and I've been in a couple clubs, I mean, he goes in the crowd. Right. It doesn't matter what hood it is, where it's at. He goes in the crowd with his jewelry on. He performs. He interacts with the
but
people.
But to be clear, it's about a system. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I seen the Pope here. Somebody could have shot at him. He couldn't stop that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, somebody could shot at him. Now, when it's shooting him, it's about what happens after that. So I feel like I got a system in place for both of them now. But at the end of the day, that was just one of them ones. It was a crap shoot.
Did you have to fire some security guards after that? Like, y'all moved too slow.
And that was crazy because when people said it, my security had just went to jail on our way to the show. I ended up going to that show with one person with me.
Yeah.
We got stopped, like, right outside of Tallahassee the same night. So I knew all this was meant to happen.
Yeah.
The security, we actually almost didn't make the show in Tallahassee. And my security went to jail. I still ended up making it to the venue. And everybody who know Tallahassee, the Coliseum, they got gladiators in there. Like, them boys really get it down.
Yeah.
But I put them in a bad situation because they had to kick dude out.
Right.
I'm kind of making them go against their policy, bringing them back in, showing love. It was just kind of one of them situations. So I put them in a bad situation, really.
And it has to be difficult, too, because you've gone through situations with lawsuits.
Right.
And you never know what could happen. Somebody decides to sue. It's not even your fault. You just was there.
But it happened how it was supposed to happen, because I know if I had my people's, I probably wouldn't even.
Boy, been dead.
Yeah.
And
people ask me what I regret about that situation. If I could change something, what it would be? Because I ain't kill him. Like, that's my problem.
Damn it, Blas.
Like, if I had to. No, that's the only thing I would change about it. I ain't
kill him. Why you gonna kill him, man?
That's policy, though.
Yeah.
You can ask people around me. That's policy. If we get into something they don't die, everybody get fired.
Damn it, man.
I don't think you should be spreading
that message.
No, that's if you gonna work for me, that's what policy is.
Yeah.
If we get into something. If he don't die, everybody fight.
I don't think anybody should have died.
Who don't think that? Well, you don't think that?
No.
Well, you did. That's how you roll. That ain't how I roll.
Let me ask you about Kirk Franklin. Let's give some positivity about Kirk Franklin. Did you ever meet Kirk Franklin?
I ain't met Kirk yet. Yeah, I seen when he was
in. You got him in trouble.
Not really.
You asked him to come to the strip club.
Kirk tried to kind of. I heard Kirk kind of backtracked on what he said. He told me he thought I was talking about something else or something. I was talking about King of Diamonds.
He know what King of Diamonds is.
Kirk thought I was talking about spades.
Kirk thought I was talking about cutting. The big joker, the little joker. I was talking about King of Diamonds. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, I felt like it was a good. People always told me about me and him looked alike and we favor and all that. So, you know, I always was a fan of what it was that he did. I ain't never got into the gospel music thing, but you know, I thought it was a good offer.
You never shot nobody to stomp?
That's the dance. That's the little thing he did. Nah, I ain't never did that.
Now, if he did go to King of Diamonds, would you go to church with him?
Absolutely.
He's a man of his word.
I go with Kirk.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, we all want to know, is Angela Yee the inspiration for Sweet Saturdays?
I would hope not, because some of them girls seem nasty that you be talking about. So let's hope.
No, you know what?
And that's not the inspiration.
Because you know the word on the street is you and Angela was a couple or is a couple or something.
You know what, with Yee? People don't really understand that. I always told her if I ever came to the show, I was going to say that. Like, you just dope to me. She knows she dope to me. She dope to me just in a lot of ways. But I feel like from me, just to set the record straight, I'm infatuated with hardworking women. I've always been infatuated with that. So when I see it, I bring it around me because I got on a whole nother vibe probably some months ago. And I just love being around women now.
Would you like to be around before?
No. It's just hanging out with people.
Oh, God, you got
hanging out with people. I can probably explain this because, you know, we do talk all the time. Like, that is my people's. Like, if something happened, I'll talk to him for advice. He's a very
He was the only what I call an industry friend / associate that I had for a long time.
You drinking Hennessy, bro. You a Remy man.
But let me just explain what he's saying. He don't really go out and socialize unless he's getting paid.
But you ain't going out unless you get paid.
But I'll hit him up and be like, come on, let's go have a drink. Let's go.
I used to hate Yee. I used to hate you. Like when she was at what you was working for?
Sirius.
I used to be like, damn, she knows it. Like when I used to be listening to her on the radio, and they used to try to take me over. I was like, bro, I ain't going over there, man.
Yeah.
That girl knows. Like that's all she want to do is know people's business.
Yeah.
So when I finally went over there and I met her. And they ended up playing Yee clip, the clip we did. They ended up playing that against me in court.
That's not my fault.
Really?
Yeah. No, what clip?
You and Gates.
Yeah, my brother was home then from prison. But they played that video again. They played that video and Superstar J video.
Damn.
Yeah, when I went to court.
So when you tweeted that little got some power. That wasn't about Ye?
Oh, no, that wasn't
about the radio station?
Nah. It got power, Ye?
Yeah. I mean,
you said,
yeah,
me.
So y'all not, so it's
you gotta,
never.
You gotta ask you, do I got power? Ask her, do I got power?
I don't talk to you about her.
Well, why not?
You talking to me about her? The rumor is you the one in it.
Oh, no, nah, man. Me and my, that's top notch, dog. Like, that's on a whole nother level of respect for us. So I don't think a lot of people understand it. Well, a lot of people who understand me understand it.
But if you wanted a wife, Ye would be the prototype.
Ye dope. Ye got all the qualities.
Yeah.
You know, she work hard. She make really, really good money. That's probably.
I make good money.
No. You ain't let me finish. No. She ain't let me finish.
You never gotta work again.
Look,
okay?
I'm finna tell. That's probably why, you know, I don't know if Ye got a dude or not, but that's probably why she ain't got a dude, because she ain't finna play the BS game, so.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with Plies when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What's up, y'all? It's Angela Ye wishing you and your family the very best this holiday season from all of us here at The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
That's right. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Plies in the building.
Now, I remember telling you that I'm glad that you started doing all of those Instagram videos because, you know, now people can see that you're really funny. And that's why I was glad that he started showing his personality more, and I'll try to get him to go
out.
But
he used to try to get me to do all that.
Plies. Now, when girls be coming in here talking about Plies so funny, man, he ain't that funny.
Yeah, right.
His brother funnier.
Yeah, you supposed to say that, though. That's my, whoa, she supposed to say that. It's cool. She get that pass. I ain't tripping.
No, but I do feel like, you know, I feel like people didn't know a lot about your personality, and that really helped. And then.
But I never cared to. It wasn't even about showing that side of me.
Mm-hmm.
My brother kind of massaged me into that situation. Like,
right.
I was just Twitter. Like, that's all I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was like, bro, I need you to get on IG. Like, it's the same thing as Twitter. Just record what you're saying. So I'm like, bro, I ain't finna keep a damn camera in my face all day. So when he kind of massaged me into the situation and I started doing it, you know, it's something that people enjoy. But for me, I always tell people, when people run up to me with it, I never looked at myself as being humorous. I just kind of say what I want to say, and I keep it moving.
It's kind of just real flawed, though.
But
I just kind of say what it is.
And I also think that people also think that you know everything that's going on, like, on social media. And just a couple examples. Like, sometimes you just have no idea. Like,
right.
Chris Brown got mad because he thought you was throwing subliminals at him. So I called him, and I was like, yo, what's going on? He was like, I didn't even know what he was talking about.
But that was crazy. That was crazy.
Nothing that he said.
And nobody, well, I don't really do interviews like that too much, but that situation was kind of, that was kind of a disappointing situation with me, with CB, because I like CB.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I think dog is, like, super, super dope.
Mm-hmm.
So I always liked him. So that whole situation transpired. That caught me off guard. That kind of put me back into, I can't be effed up with these dudes.
Cause right.
If you felt like that, like, find somebody around me and holler at me.
Yeah.
But you weren't even who I was thinking about. Like, that was nothing about nothing. And then for it to happen kind of how it happened, I was like, that was probably one of the top three things in the game that kind of disappointed me, because I really, really, really F with dude.
What was the other two?
Well, let me guess. The thing with Young Thug, right? You posted his daughter.
That ain't disappoint me.
But I just want to clear something up about that, too, because I had an argument with somebody about this.
There you go, sticking up for your man. There you go, Ye.
Hey, Ye, keep doing it.
There you go.
It's not short for bitch. It's not meant to be disrespectful.
Nah.
It's kind of like.
I use bitch, and I feel like I'm the best person to ask. I don't want to came up with it. Like, I use it when I don't want to curse.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it in place of what people would call profanity. So
are you using it in place of the word bitch?
No, period. And first of all, man, like, everybody, well, people who know how I'm rocking, kids are a sensitive issue to me. Like, and when you come to that, I'll just say this and we can keep it moving, but them kind of situations don't disappoint me. Like, I understand the game. Like, when you got cats who ain't popping, trying to get popping, they just say what they want to say, and dog ain't popping, so.
Dog popping now.
Oh, okay.
He popping out here.
14, what he did, 10, 14,000 records first week?
Yeah, but he got buzz, though.
That's popping?
Nah, but he got the street buzz.
Should you even be talking about in this old 10,000 records first week?
Nah, but he got the street buzz.
I looked at you highly of that. I thought you had most sense.
I don't listen to him.
He got a top five record. His record is moving. But I thought y'all squashed it out there. I thought
It never started with me. You don't. And I told you, like, you don't go back and forth with little dudes, you just don't do it. So we can keep this moving.
Does it scare you a little bit though? Because he got a skirt on, but then he talk about the chop action. Like that's a little unorthodox.
Chop, look at me. I don't play with little dudes, man.
Yeah.
Period.
One thing I can say about what Plies is he has opened up, because when he was first in the industry, he was quiet, he wouldn't talk to nobody. He talks to people now.
But it was kind of wild. It was where I was from. It was like being from Fort Myers, that's how it is. Like, it ain't disrespect if I don't speak to you. Like, if I don't speak to you, I just don't know you. So yeah. If I don't know you, I just keep it moving. It ain't, and I found out in this game, some people take it disrespectful, especially if they somebody of power and you walk past them and don't speak to them. But where I'm from, if I ain't know you, I just didn't speak to you.
Now, when you got a girl, Plies, and you on Instagram talking that talk and about how good the game is, do girls get upset? Matter of fact, hold on. Yee, do you get upset when Plies be talking that talk on the gram?
I never get upset at him.
Hey, Charles, man, I don't even know if you understand, but this ain't going nowhere. This ain't. You doing a terrible job. I just see you
he's
more on point
though.
Than today. Today, this is it. This is
hey,
Solomon. Hey, Solomon. This is Solomon. This is this is a C at best. This is a C at best, right now, Solomon.
And I
swear, I just seen you better than this.
They huddled up. They huddled up.
This ain't good.
They huddled up. They got the game plan.
Hey, this ain't good today, Solomon. I swear, you should be more.
You ain't good.
Nah, he ain't good today.
Let me ask a real question.
Uh-oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Yo Gotti.
Yeah.
Now, I saw before y'all didn't really get along. He has some issues.
Nah, that wasn't true.
Why y'all didn't get along?
He did say something about you in a song, and I saw you posted his album, shouted him out. Y'all did a song together, and people was like, oh, but he said this about you. How are you going to post it?
No, it wasn't. Gotti, I think, I forgot what mixtape that was. It was a couple of his projects ago. But he said something that people didn't know which way to take it. But they ain't know if they go left or go right. But I think he did a couple interviews and he let people know exactly what it was that he meant by. I mean, you gotta follow what the person who wrote it said. So, you know, that situation was the easy one for me. Like, God is probably one of the three at most, but I say probably top two. I just respect what dogs do.
Did you ever feel like you could settle down?
That ain't hard for me. Most street cats that cheat, if you got five women, you just trying to make one good woman. You might got one.
Oh, trying to take all them five and make
one. Yeah, just one
okay.
good woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you find one good woman that got all them qualities, it's easy. So it's just about, for me, it's just about finding a person that possess all the things it is that I really stand on.
So what's the qualities? For the love of Plies. What's the qualities?
What's your quality?
He was supposed to have a reality show, as
really?
I recall.
And you probably years shut it down, hating.
No.
Yee
was going to be on it. You going to be on it.
Yeah, I'd be the host.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would vet all these girls out.
Man, that's dope, man. See, that's the kind of girl you need. You need a madam. A girl that's going to be your main girl and control all the hoes.
Hey, Invest. He's on the sea level today. He's not good today. You ain't on fire today, Sean.
He's drowning, man. He's drowning over there.
Hey, get the green ball, man. Get the green ball, girl. You ain't on fire today.
What are the qualities?
I think I'm simple, though. Like, I ain't really on the dime. Like, I ain't got to be kicking it with the dime. Like,
what you mean? She don't got to be a dime?
Nah, not me.
Like a 6'7"?
If she is a 6'7", but she got the qualities. Yeah. Me personally, I want a geisha.
A what?
A geisha.
What is that?
No
you
disrespect.
You want somebody that just works for you?
My sisters. Like, I love my sisters. I don't know if there's such thing as a geisha sister. It might be a geisha
he's
sister.
He's talking about Japanese. He's talking about memoirs of a geisha.
Pull it up. Geisha? Let's
yeah,
Google
I
that.
How you spell it?
You don't know how to spell it. You got to spell it.
G-A-Y.
Hold on now. Slow down. Hold on.
Pull it up. I want a geisha. You got to have geisha. I want either want a geisha or you got to have geisha quality.
G-A-Y. What?
G-A-Y, man.
What is it? Yeah, she lying to you.
Geisha?
No.
She got you. Bingo.
G-E-I-S-H-A.
G-E-I, man. Not no G-A-Y.
What is a geisha? Entertainers who act as hostesses and whose skills include performing various acts.
Yeah.
So you want a performer?
You want a performer.
I want part of it.
I either want
a geisha or you got to have geisha quality.
Mm-hmm. And what's that?
I
need a submissive woman.
Did you ever see Memoirs of a Geisha? What geishas have you ever come into contact with?
I didn't. I just somebody.
So it's just an idea in your head of somebody in a robe.
Yeah.
And you need a submissive woman.
I need a submissive woman.
What's your definition of submissive? Because a lot of girls don't like that term.
Yeah, they don't like that. I don't need you to be the yes woman. Like, I don't need that to happen. I need you to understand how hard I really work.
Yeah.
Like, I need that to happen. I don't need you to think that, you know, we just living like this and, you know.
Right.
That's where you and Angela Yee would bump heads right there.
Oh, I already told you.
She ain't going to be submissive.
Nope.
See, he been tampered with. You've been tampered with. You've been tampered with. See, anytime you got another nationality in you, if you like a white girl,
yeah,
but you act black and all that,
yeah.
You've been tampered with. See, when you tampered with, it's a whole nother ball game.
Okay, you disagree with him. You don't even know.
Yeah, you've been tampered with.
I know what he mean.
What does he mean?
That you've been tampered with.
Yeah, you.
What you talking about?
Yeah, you.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Plies is in the building. Now, Charlamagne, stop. You're trying to make him a couple all morning long.
This clock is ticking.
See, right?
We going to have this wedding, or we not going to have this wedding between Plies and Angela Yee?
I'm going to do you Charlamagne did us, okay? Invite him 2 days before the wedding.
Hey, I'll be either way.
Charlamagne came in here with an invite.
Oh, Charlamagne got married?
You damn right.
He handed me an invite 2 days before the wedding and said, don't tell nobody.
I didn't know Charlamagne had a title.
It wasn't 2 days.
It was like next week.
I'll be honest with you, Plies. You don't truly feel successful until you got you a family.
Right.
So you got you a woman and some kids, and it's all in the house. You really feel accomplished when you got that. You can propose right here, right now.
What you talking about?
You propose Angela Yee right here.
Oh,
right,
man, you a C-minus, man. You is just...
Let's
drop out the race, man. You just... This is getting unbearable.
Are you going to do a Ritz Carlton remix?
Yep.
Who's on it?
Because it seems like
who y'all
it seems like the hook should be ran off on the plug. You know, that should be the hook.
I want to do a situation where it bring, like you said, athletes and everybody who was a part. I think that's what made this situation so big, man, is that everybody embraced the situation. And people was asking me all the time, like, what you really mean by ran off on the plug? And I said, it's a celebration. It's when you outdo somebody. Like, the example I use is, you know, me and you can be slap boxing. If I get the best of you, I just ran off on the plug.
Oh, I thought that the plug fronted you some work and you hauled ass.
Nah.
I was like,
I don't know if these plugs going to let that happen twice.
And I think that's what took the situation so big and took it so viral.
It could be anything to you.
Yeah.
It could be we set a guy up and robbed him in his room and ran.
You see what I mean?
Let's do that.
So listen, is it hard? Like, you know, how you say you keep a girl in your corner? Like, do you know how when not to separate the business from the pleasure? Like, sometimes it's just cool to be business with him?
I don't trust nobody. So, Charlamagne, I'm all throw it off when it comes to that.
Like, yeah.
If I meet you in the club and you, I ain't looking at how bad you is. I ain't looking at how fine you is or how cute you is. Like, you know, I'm thinking about if this go wrong. Like, I'm thinking about child support. I'm thinking about, you know, I be hearing the crazy story, $20,000 a month and all that. So I'm just paranoid, really, for real. So I enjoy women. Like, I enjoy how women kick it. Like, you can be in the club with a chick, her and three chicks over there dancing together, and I'd be like, oh, okay. So that's your partner. They're like, nah, I just met them. So I just like the whole camaraderie about women, so.
Does a girl have to have a fat ass for you to?
Nah, I ain't.
Well, listen, you and Angelina need to start playing with each other. Then.
Hey, listen, man. Come on, man.
You just keep describing Angela Yee from what I.
But you know what I done figured out, Yee?
Yes, sir.
You know a lot about Angela Yee.
I work with her every day.
Ain't no work. You ain't saying nothing about Envy yet.
Man, I don't even like Envy too much.
Now you're getting back into your form.
I can't let you get out of here without explaining these pictures now.
What pictures are those?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, Angela Yee pictures.
Oh. We was at the office.
What it was Revolt?
Revolt
Music Conference picture.
Yeah, we went to the strip
Went to the office. And the other picture, that was...
I was mad for that, because
posted that picture.
And he told
that picture was on her IG.
He texted me and told me to take it down.
Her picture.
But he texted me and told me, he said, yo, you should take that down, that's not appropriate. And then he posted it.
So you just listen to random... Now listen.
You got the juice, but now she kind of remixed that one.
Yeah.
She told half of the truth.
Okay.
She remixed that. But me and her was talking. Now, I ain't just randomly call you. They take that down.
Yeah.
Me and you was talking. And I said, boy, I said, you got out there on that last post. And she was like, I ain't looked at it. I said, man, come on. I said, you already know how your boss is at work. So she was like, you think I should take it down? I said, hey, man, it's on you, but you trying to go a whole nother way now. But I had reposted that picture. So I think a lot of people who didn't know that she had posted it.
I took it down, so they didn't see it on my
They thought it just was a personal picture to me, but she had already posted that picture.
So basically, you just never had sex, is what you think.
Nah, man.
Ran off on the plug.
Damn, you ran off with a real one. Yeah, you left him. Hold on. Yeah, I know you ain't leaving with an
audience. Right,
that's what happened. Damn, that's what happened, Yee.
No, but listen, honestly, this is like my people's. I talk to him all the time. Like, listen, he'll know anytime something happened, who's the first person they'll call you?
Before I answer that question, I don't like how you really said that.
Yeah, she left you hanging, bro. I don't like heard a story about that this morning, dude.
Hey, listen,
girl, our homeboy was at a girl house. Girl told him he gotta go, and the boy was like, man, you ain't gonna let me eat the while I leave?
She smoked up all his weed.
Yeah, smoked up all his weed.
That's all he wanted to do.
Drank his liquor.
Yeah, that's all he wanted.
That's it.
She ran off on him.
You ever been in that situation, bro?
Nah, I ain't been in that.
He might run off on her.
Yeah. I get horny easy, man. That's one of my weaknesses, man.
What?
I don't know what's wrong with me.
That's all our weakness.
I be next level though, Charlotte, man. Like,
it's that Remy. I don't know why, but that Remy turned me to a whore.
What are you doing to that mic?
Every time, huh?
What are you doing to the mic?
He getting horny. You sitting right there. He drinking on that Henny. I'm ready to go.
It be something about that horny, boy. That horny be on a whole nother level.
We got a mattress in the back. We got the office in the back. We do.
And listen, I came here last night with Clue. I'm glad y'all got the eye on in here today, boy. We was in here last night. The breast was called up and wrestling in here or something.
What?
It was musking. It was the whole room. I said, man. So Calvin was telling me about the owl one on the AC. They cut the owl. I say, man, you got to get me out of here, boy. The Bradford Club
muscles. They cut the air off at like, I guess, like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, terrible in here. We need to interview outside or something. I say, the Bradford Club must have been wrestling in here for that. It was the worst in here. I'm glad it looked the owl on in here today, though. Oh. Last night was terrible.
I can't believe that our intern really putting up these pictures of us. I didn't know.
Did you know how many people wanted to know?
Yeah, but albums, we saying right now summer.
Summertime.
Yeah, we can push it up. The label, they telling me to tell them when I'm ready, so.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure. We got the follow-up situation. This, I think my brother feel like it's probably like my biggest record that I done did, but.
You got a feature on it?
We got 2 records, one by myself and one with a feature. But this record here is just, this a people's record. Like, this whole, you know, ran off on the plug twice thing. And I want to make sure I leave this record out here as long as I can leave it out here, because they made the situation what it is.
We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, I appreciate y'all.
We ain't getting no information. Plies and Yee done huddled up before the interview.
You was a C today. You was a C today.
Plies and Yee ain't having sex. They're not in a relationship. They just friends.
Right. Gangster.
Well, it's Plies. It's the Breakfast Club.
Double salute.
Get with the good hell.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Donkey of the day goes to Shad Moss. Yes, I give Shad Moss a hard time, and Shad Moss has won in life and will continue to win. But boy, was this funny to me. Now, live TV is no joke. Let's be clear about that. Live TV is no joke. The pressure of live TV is a beast, and I'm sure I will mess up on live TV one day, and I will get roasted for it. But Bow Wow, this is your turn. I mean, Shad Moss. Pay that man his respect and call him Shad Moss, okay? Shad Moss was hosting the CBS pre-show at the 2016 Grammy Awards, and either Shad Moss don't know, don't show, or literally didn't care what time it was, because he had one job, one, and that was to throw to the start of the Grammys when the clock struck zero. They had the little counter in the corner, okay? But that's not what Shad Moss paid attention to. I don't know what he was paying attention to. Shad Moss started the show when there was well over 90 seconds on the clock. And then Shad realized that the cameras were still rolling, so he had to improvise. Now, let me tell you something about live TV. The worst thing in the world on live TV is when you by yourself and the producer says, scratch. Mm-hmm. Improvise. We need more time, okay? Some people just not get on the spot like that. Bow Wow tried, but I guess that pressure was getting to him. So then he tried to start the show again with a whole minute left on the clock, 60 seconds. But it probably felt like hours for Bow Wow. Bow Wow then tried to start the show again for a third time, but he did it with 30 seconds left on the clock. Listen, I'm not doing this no justice. Let's hear it.
The 58th Annual Grammy Awards are getting ready to start.
He's driving.
Wrong dance. I'm gonna dance all the way back to that. That's what I'm gonna do. It's on the way. My man L. Cool J is ready to take this stage, and it's almost about that time. Right about now.
Wrong.
This is amazing right here. I need to get in my seat.
Damn. Yes, that was amazing for all the wrong reasons, okay? When you hear someone say, woo! When you hear them say, woo! Repeatedly, that's a cry for help on live TV, okay? Shad had nothing to say. He wanted out that situation. And Shad Moss did what every black man does when they're under pressure. When all else fails, dance.
Dance, boy, dance. I'm getting lost.
It's like when you're boxing. It's 3 minutes seems like it's a short amount of time, but when you're in that ring,
it's woo! Bow Wow, you are absolutely right. You were lost, okay? The funniest part was when the producers just had enough of you after the third time and threw to Kevin Frazier. You know why they threw to Kevin Frazier? Because Kevin Frazier has a concept of time. Because Kevin Frazier knows that the show begins when the countdown is over, when the clock strikes zero. Not at 90 seconds, not at 60 seconds, mm-mm, not at 30. Zero! Don't worry, Shad Moss. It happens to the best of us.
Hold on me. I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. High up, I was taking a hold on me.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Pharrell is in the building.
And Pharrell walked in and said, thank you for having me. I was like, thank you so much for coming. We've never had Pharrell.
You
up here
do
before.
Realize most rich people, like really rich people, are like the most humble. The ones I've come across. Well, I'm grateful. You can't deny you're rich. He's like, wow. Pharrell, stop it.
Nah, you know, you know what? Listen, I'm grateful, man. Seriously. You know, we get an opportunity to talk about the film, and
you guys
have been, like, so supportive of, mm-hmm, like, my career all these years. So, you know, I'm always...
We're going to get to the film. We need to get to your diet tips first, okay?
Okay.
I need to know why the hell you have not aged in 20-plus years. How much water do you drink a day? Matter of fact, what do you have for breakfast? Let's start there.
You know what? This week is not so good because, man, why am I talking about this?
Because we want to know why you're not aging.
It has nothing to do with it. It's just, you know,
it's good genes.
Lots of water. God. My mom and my dad, you know, mm-hmm, I really do believe in, like, exfoliating, though.
I do. I go see, yeah. I do.
I believe in that, too.
I go to the dermatologist.
I believe in
that. I got some good exfoliation stuff at the house.
Yeah, when I was, much younger, like, you know, all the girl, the model girls used to talk about that a lot.
Have you seen the meme that showed you from like 15 years ago to now?
It's hilarious.
And have you, and your, even your hairline, bro.
You seem a little jealous. It's not.
I'm not jealous. I just want to know. Like, share the secrets, my brother.
The no, hairline, there's no. Hairline's definitely hereditary. I don't think there was. No one can help your hairline.
Yeah.
Are you vegan?
You know, that was vegan, so quick. It was so reflective. So it was so quick.
You're not vegan, are you?
Nah.
Okay.
No, sir. That's short ribbed. Yeah. It has to happen every once in a while.
You are from Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what's the film? Hidden Figures.
Hidden
I'm
Figures
excited
is
for
is,
this movie.
Oh, thank you. Three African American female protagonists, right? Not talking about divorces or consoling each other or like burning up the Range
Rovers. Or getting beat by their husband.
You know, none of that.
Yeah.
Although I like those movies too sometimes, you know.
Love.
Waiting Takes Hill was a great movie.
Listen, with love. But these were three female African-American protagonists who were scientists, engineers, mathematicians, mm-hmm, technologically advanced. So that blew my mind. It involved NASA. Mm-hmm. It involved space, two subjects I was obsessed with since I was a child. And then, like, it happened where I'm from, Hampton Roads, Virginia, mm-hmm, in the 1960s. So how could we not be a part of it?
What I love about it is a story that most people have never heard before.
Yeah. I mean, Catherine was a mathematics savant. And it was her math that enabled John Glenn to make it in his orbit around the Earth in 5 hours, three rotations around the Earth. Like, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And that was her math. One degree off, meaning one decimal off, and he would have went out into the continuum of space forever.
Right.
Or coming back in, he would have burnt up and not made it through the go-no-go. So the idea that we get to participate in this story and telling this story, and I'm telling you guys, like, if you see the film, it will make you feel better. You'll be upset that you didn't know the story.
But that's what movies are for, though, because a lot of people don't read as much as they should.
Yeah.
And if we don't introduce these stories to, especially the youth, they'll probably never know.
Yeah. Well, their stories were, like, muted because they were victims of the circumstances in the era. You know, being African American, we would get our just due in terms of our accolades, but we weren't really necessarily, we didn't really collect on them like that.
You think it was by design that they didn't put people of color in those positions, like in front of the camera, because it would kind of maybe encourage kids to want to do that?
I just don't think it was a part of the American narrative at that time. And women. Mm-hmm. So women had it twice as hard.
Mm-hmm. That's why this is perfect timing, by the way, for a movie like this right now.
Yeah, because there's so much
women.
Yeah,
everything that's been going on lately, in particular.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of gender bias, and there's still racial bias. Like it's severe to me. It's crazier than it's ever been because there was no internet in the '60s.
Right.
Now it's like really undeniable.
It's scary though because you don't know how much of it is real and how much of it is false. So you think about your everyday life, like you interact with different types of people all the time. I don't experience overt racism. I don't think I've ever experienced overt racism. Probably, I'm sure I experienced it covertly, but never overtly.
Well, because we're on the coast, right?
Yeah,
in the middle of the country, like it's real.
But think about even in the music business.
Yeah.
It goes on so much.
Yeah.
You know, I think I feel it all the time.
You never felt it for real. All them hits you was making?
Well, look, they have to call you the N-word to be racist. You know, it's a much deeper conversation, right? Like, you know, like we work in a business where, like, it is okay to own other people's masters.
Mm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like you owning my ID and telling me when I can and can't cross the street and when I can eat and, you know, when I should pay my taxes.
Yeah.
That's the business that we're in the music industry. That will soon change, by the way. Everybody should own their masters. If major labels want to do deals with artists, to partner with them, great. Partner with me, but don't own me. You know, those contracts, they tell you that they want to own the master and then every copy thereof is a slave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's real. It's in the contracts.
Right.
Yeah, that needs to change. But we're here to talk about Hidden Figures.
I always feel like you was using your music to get to space, though. And what I mean by that is that was just like an outlet for you to do bigger things and present bigger stories like this.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, although I will not be going to space.
I was
going
to ask you.
You wouldn't go to space? You, Pharrell? Come on, stop.
Man, have you ever watched the Science Channel?
Yeah, all the time.
Man, the pixelation is amazing.
I am intrigued by UFOs. I'm obsessed with them. Everybody in this room tells me I'm crazy because I believe in extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're probably not doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you first consider the fact that our sun is just another star, it's insane for you to assume that there's only... this one star is the only one that has a solar system around it. The rest of those stars all have like planets around them. So, what does the math tell you? I don't know. I mean, what do we know at this point?
Now, Virginia is like a hip hop outlier in itself because you got Missy, you got Timbaland,
geniuses,
Teddy Riley,
genius.
Like, what's in the water? Like, where did all those producers come from? Like,
there's definitely something in the water in Virginia. You got. Strong too, like he's killing it.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Knots. There's Chris Brown,
Trey Songz, Pusha T.
Yeah, D'Angelo, Pusha T.
Like y'all controlled sound.
Clips, fam. We listen, man. You know what it is? Virginia didn't have much, and so exercising your creativity was just kind of like a great outlet. Envy was down there. He was down there when all of that was happening. Hampton U was on fire. Man.
He might not have never been a DJ if he didn't go to Hampton.
My goodness. Some of the most beautiful, beautiful women.
Have you always been like the eclectic type guy you are?
Always a weirdo.
So did you?
It just makes sense now. But I mean, for me at least.
Did you ever face resistance from like the Pusha T's and those guys who were like, I don't want to work with that guy?
No. They were always supportive.
But I feel like you're more of a trendsetter.
No.
Because you don't think so? Because, no. I mean, clearly people want to look like Pharrell.
Nah, that's weird.
You're being fake humble.
Like you have
fake humble.
You have clothing lines.
Nah.
You're being fake humble.
No, at all. This is not fake awkward either. It's like real awkward. Just saying.
We got more coming up with Pharrell. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy.
Hey, I'm Angela Yee.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and we just want to say happy holidays from all three of us.
All three of y'all.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Pharrell is in the building.
Let's go back to the movie. You scored how much of this movie?
Pharrell, nobody talks about what you're actually here to talk about anymore when you do interviews. The PR didn't tell them?
Okay. Sorry. Okay. You guys drive.
No, go ahead. Hidden Figures.
He's like, back to
me. Sure, you got some more to tell
us. I am really excited because I actually saw the trailer like a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this movie looks going to be great because Taraji P. Henson's in it.
Kills it.
Yes. Janelle Monáe is in it.
Kills it.
She's so
fun. By the way, Octavia Spencer's in the movie also.
Kills it.
So some of my favorite people are in this movie.
Yep. Mahershala Ali, Kevin Costner. Really talented actors.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, like, a lot of the female contribution in science and just across the board
mm-hmm.
has been largely ignored and like dismissed, and things are changing now. Like, it was actually women that discovered the way, the metric in measuring how far stars are or what they're made of. They're made of hydrogen. Those are women.
I don't even think in school they encourage women to get into the sciences.
No, they don't.
Or into math or anything. They don't really encourage that.
They don't. And you think about it, like, Catherine was a savant. Like, it's insane what she was able to do. And there's a scene in the film where she needs to use the bathroom. But because of that time, because it was segregated, her bathroom wasn't on the other side of the building. It was on the other side of the campus.
Damn.
And so NASA, they were civil. They had, like, campus bikes. But that was for a man, because as men, we forget.
Right.
You could not wear pants or shorts. Right. She had to wear long dresses and long skirts. So women couldn't ride the bike there, right? So as an African-American woman, you had to run. Catherine had to run a 30 to 45 minute round trip, rain or shine, just to use the bathroom, just
That's
to relieve
crazy.
Herself. So it's crazy.
You speak a lot about gender bias. You think gender bias is the reason Hillary didn't become president? Because you endorsed Hillary Clinton.
I think that gender bias played a part in it. I think they knew the difference but didn't appreciate the difference between reality shows and, like, real news.
Mm.
As we see, fake news is mm-hmm. a huge thing. I also never believed in, like, the system of polls. I thought polls were, like, antiquated. It's 1,200 people at a time, and millennials don't answer house phones.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I always thought it was antiquated. I think the news got it wrong. I think the news is responsible. I think Twitter is responsible. They could have easily just pulled a plug.
Social media, period.
Yeah. And I just think that just should have been a different game plan, man. There should have just been a different game plan.
Do you think she was a terrible candidate? Because every time I say something like
that, I think she was qualified. But okay. I think that, like, the tables have turned, and I feel like people look at politics like they look at any other television show.
Mm-hmm.
You got to entertain. And that's what happened. That's what happened in one case, and that's what did not happen in the other. Social studies, catfight.
Mm-hmm.
What you going to tune into?
Yeah.
But I personally think women and millennials will essentially be the larger number that ends up saving us in 4 years.
Mm. Why do you think that?
Because women have compassion. They think about the world. They birthed the world. The whole entire world came through the conduit of a woman's body.
True indeed.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, I feel like it's gonna be that. And there's going to be men that'll be in the number.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be women and millennials.
I remember you said that Hillary's dishonest. But so are you. So I remember thinking, so is Pharrell willing to deal with liars all the time or just when they're running for president?
Who don't lie, bro?
Yeah.
On some level, who
and
don't lie?
Somebody who's like, been in politics as long.
Yeah.
There's no way that you would be perfect.
No, I'm the most upright standing, whatever way you want to look at it, because they both have two different definitions, but it means the same thing. Who is that honest with their taxes?
Whoa,
right. There we go.
Whoa.
There you go. Done.
Hey, IRS, I'm very honest with mine.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, are you willing to sit down and fact check? Because they'll find something that there's a little gray line, a little gray area. There's a gray area for everybody, right?
I wrote
and
up some these people clothes just, that I bought, but I didn't really use them for work. Like, you know, certain things. You might not even have all your paperwork properly in order, and you just say, okay, I'm a guesstimate. This is what I spent.
100%. Yeah. Listen, look, they won. It is what it is. Now, but here's what I will say. This pressure that's going to come about is going to make the best art, the best music, the best design, the best fashion. It's going to be amazing. The other thing is you'll see more people galvanizing. You'll see our culture galvanizing.
Yes. Is that why you're being more vocal now about these kind of issues?
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm telling you, I was mad, bro. I was, like, mad.
Like, after the election?
No, before it.
Okay.
Nobody was listening. I'm like, yo, stop listening to these polls, man. These old-ass people, man. They old, bro. They old. It's an old, antiquated thing that worked in the 50s and the 60s when part of the television show was to show you Colgate in the middle of the show. That's when polls worked. Okay? People is old, bro.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about how you've managed in this business for so long to be really just level-headed. Like, we see all these artists going through different things and, you know, struggling with mental issues, depression. They talk about it in their music. They talk about it in interviews. But do you think that coming up in the era that you came up in where we didn't have social media, we didn't have the pressure of people being able to just directly reach out to you, do you think that's been negative for artists sometimes? And how have you managed to
There's no college course. There's no college course for how to manage your money when you're in this business. When the lights are flashing and everyone's looking and it's, you know, it's so many competitions that are unspoken of. But there are. You're just in constant competition to flash harder, perform harder, do bigger numbers. Like, there's a lot of pressures, right? And companies, it's not like in football where they have, like, they actually sit down and have you take a course and, like, what to avoid and people to stay away from and... You know, they don't do that in the music industry. Mm-hmm. This is the most abused industry ever.
They said Barry Gordy used to, when Smokey Robinson was here, he said Barry Gordy would have artists every week. They had these, like, training classes. It didn't matter how big you were.
Yeah.
Everybody had to come, you know, to his house and do,
we
like,
need
these
that.
Training courses.
We
I
need
thought that.
That
was brilliant.
We need that. And there's some really nice and brilliant people that are in the music industry right now.
Well, shouldn't guys like you be doing that? Because you're empowered, for real.
I'm doing my best. Any artist that signed with me will own their masters.
It's crazy at the production thing, though, because it was like you was red hot, then it was a moment where we ain't hear nothing from Pharrell, and then it's just like you just came back and owned everything.
I ain't do nothing.
Stop it.
I just worked, and it's the universe, too. It's the universe and the people. No matter how hot it is, it requires people to be into it. They got to buy it. They got to stream it. They got to tell their friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pay for that. So I don't take any of that for granted. For me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm here based on doors that were opened for me. Artists that worked with me, inspired me, based on fans that continued to lift me up, and, you know, the universe, God, like, the rest of it, like, you know, that's a prerequisite. You're supposed to try to be your best, but that doesn't guarantee any kind of success. That's, you know, you have to talk about the people that got you here.
All right, we got more with Pharrell when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Pharrell is in the building.
I always want to talk to you about the record Snitch, man, because I feel like that's the second greatest hip-hop acronym of all time.
Whoa.
Just, come on, easily. But it didn't get the credit for whatever reason, but it, I think it's Cream, and then I think it's Snitch.
Whoa, thank you.
You don't think so?
Thank you. It was inspired.
Pusha said you made it. You created that.
Yeah.
How, though? Because you, like, you weren't
one
in the
of
street.
One of our guys got locked up.
Okay.
He was in that world. And I didn't even really talk to him. But in my mind, I'd be like, man, I know what I'd be thinking.
Sorry, I'm trying to come home. I'm telling. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would. 100%.
I would, too.
What do you mean? What? What? Not what? Is there a question?
No, listen,
I don't have a question.
I always say, don't do around me. I'm telling.
Me, too.
Yeah, but I'm not built for it, bro.
Not
I'm not built
anything,
for it. Chin up. No,
what
man.
If you was out there doing it with them?
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing
you
it.
You don't have to do that at
I don't
all.
Want it that bad.
Right,
yeah, there. Listen, certain people have it in their chemistry. They have it in their DNA. They're warrior. Like, they got it in them. I don't have that.
I'm going to do this 30. I'm
gonna... No.
All right.
No.
Okay.
No, 30 minutes in the gym, bro. Yeah.
Did you ever go through a period of time where you felt like you didn't want to do music anymore? Or you were just over it?
You know what? When I first... got on, the deal went left, and I had a really, really, really dark time. And my aunt, who could, like, used to have, like, really strong dreams, the dreams are in my family. I had, like, a real tough time, and I was like, man, I don't want to do this no more, because it was so crazy. Mm-hmm. We had gotten signed to EMI, and then the label folded.
Mm-hmm.
Like a dummy, you know, I brought my first, you know, car. It was a Lexus GS. I was driving around. I ain't no gas money. I ain't care, because it was just kind of like, look, I'm a backpacker and I have a Lexus. But my aunt was like, listen, this is what the devil wants. You know, if you give up right now, you don't understand what's on the other side of this moment. Yeah, that was like a really dark time for me. I mean, we have those periods,
right,
man. As artists, we have those periods. We need some thunderstorms sometimes so that we can appreciate when that sunshine come back.
Have you ever had a dark period while you were in the industry? Like those times when we don't hear from you and labels may be like, oh, for real, you're not the sound of the moment.
I would, yeah. But that would only, like, fuel me. There was one time it was, like, just really dark because you want it to be a certain kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you have to let go. When you let go, then the universe sort of shows you how you're supposed to do it. You know, I always thought, like, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. And I've just been proven wrong every 5 years. Like, okay, cool. All right, let me just shut up. And now I just go with it.
Where's the rest of Nerd at?
Shay's in Miami at the moment. Chad is in California at the moment.
Does Chad still make music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So when y'all do stuff like Happy, what was the Big Robin Thicke record? I forgot now.
Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines.
Yeah, he didn't work on any of that. But but we still work together. I'm just happy to collaborate whenever he's really ready to do it. He's a genius.
Was it always planned for you to be like the Beyonce of Nerd? Like,
that was weird.
No, I'm saying, you know what I meant by that. See, there you go with that's the gender thing. Beyonce's bigger than gender.
She's Beyonce.
Exactly. That's a compliment.
It is, but pointing me out to be that makes me feel awkward. I'm everybody.
You're not Michelle. Stop it. And I love Michelle.
That's supposed to be your friend. Why it you is,
but you know what I mean. Like, he's the front man of the group. You think Nerd, you think Pharrell.
Wow. Well,
you think Destiny's Child, you think Beyonce.
I know, I shy away from that, the leader thing.
Right. He's like, I just do what I do. We do what we do.
Yeah.
But
thank you, thank you.
Where you
thank
have
you.
To embrace it as a man, because you are a leader. You do have influence.
Nah, bro, we're getting back to the awkward thing again.
Yeah, don't you think, like, what Pharrell does works for him. It is what it is. He doesn't have to change and be all, you know.
But I had to come a point where every great leader had to know, okay, I'm a leader. What am I going to do with this great power?
Man, come on, bro.
What do we do?
Advisor. I'm so happy to be that.
How would you advise people now that Trump is in the White House and tensions are at an all-time high?
Recognize that there are power in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's us now. It's us. No more me. Turn the M upside down. We. It's our time. It's French time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to galvanize. We got to see the power in numbers. And women, man, like, we need you. And y'all got to stop hating on each other. Like, you don't understand. That is, man, they won because we did not stand together. And none of us are perfect. Everybody up here is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lies. Like, but when you recognize the strength in numbers, like, you could really do some amazing things. You really can. And when you don't, you're going to see that other side continue to do what they're doing because they stuck together.
I'm glad you keep stressing women because I got in trouble the other day because yes. I said it'd be really dope if women of color created a platform where they could have a voice to control their narratives like the young chick Tommy Lauren is doing.
But she didn't create that platform. But
she's used Facebook to get her voice out there even more.
Right.
So they came at me 100 miles per hour. But I'm just saying, look, I understand how powerful women of color's voices are right now.
And women of color have a lot of platforms. It's just the fact that...
Yeah, but I'm talking about as far as news.
It's not supported.
Like news. We need an online news network. How you talk about false stories and fake stories.
By the way, look, I'm so sorry. But, man, we need those platforms to sort of step up. They help create this situation. They didn't really police it enough.
Yeah.
A lot of them. And the other side was just really smart. They were smart about it. They were like, hey, they ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to get involved. They're going to just continue making their money on their advertising. And, you know, they did that.
Well, let's get inspired and see Hidden Figures because I know it's going to be an inspirational story for a lot of women, a lot of women of color, a lot of people in general, even men, to let you know that you can't do anything.
Yeah, it makes you feel better. Women crying, men crying. It's been amazing. This is an uplifting story. I know this is a very heavy conversation.
No, it wasn't.
I hate getting into like politics. I hate it.
Why?
Because won't nobody listen.
They are. You got to stop. You got to stop having that mentality, man.
No,
they
man.
Will listen.
No, man. I'm angry black man.
They've been listening to you for 20 years.
Angry black
bro.
Man. Angry
no,
black man.
Angry
Samuel.
Native American.
Samuel Jackson.
No.
Right now. Right now.
They will.
That's how I
to
feel.
You.
That's what's
but
going
this
on
is
the
you
inside.
Angry? Then I mean, I don't.
No,
know.
You don't understand. It's tempered.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on this.
I've never seen you angry, bro.
Well, when have you
like,
seen Pharrell?
Like, happy?
How much did I used to just break and just go full-ass wild leading up to this whole entire thing?
What had you so heated? Just the fact that nobody could see the evil or they were
did you guys? Have you guys ever seen the disgruntled Dallas Cowboy fan?
I am
he's one.
He's one
of them.
Not this year, but yeah. My father was one. My father actually tased somebody at a game.
He tased somebody.
He tased somebody at a Cowboys Jets game. He tased the Marine on 9/11 in MetLife Stadium.
I need that footage.
Yeah, it's footage. It is. It's online.
I need that
about
footage.
About 4 or 5 years ago.
It
yeah.
No, disgruntled fans are everything to me.
Yeah.
I like watching them.
So you were a disgruntled Hillary fan, I guess? Let it go, Pharrell. Just one time. Let it go. Let it go.
Oh, now you're taunting me now? That was another time I was frozen in the awards ceremony. I had to let it go.
Pharrell, yeah. Thank you. All your cool ass awkwardness. All right.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having us.
What's
and man, please.
Coming?
Yeah, December 25th.
Okay. Christmas Day.
Yep. January 6th and January 13th. Hard launch. And then the soundtrack is out now. Mary J. Blige, Layla Hathaway, Janelle Monae, Kim Burrell, Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's flavorful.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.